Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
The Bible is so full of truth, and you can study the Bible in different ways. You can study verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And after I pray and I talk to God, God told me that I should share a series called eschatology. Have you ever heard the word eschatology in your life? No? Okay. Eschato means end or last things. And logi means discourse. So it's a knowledge about the end time, a knowledge about the last thing, what's going to happen in the end time. I believe that God really urged me to teach this because I believe that when we look at the circumstances in the world today, we are very close to the end of the world. We are very close to the end of this kind of life that we have job, we have, you know, house, marriage, and all these things. God's going to come back to finish whatever happened in this world, and everything going to be changed after that. We are living close to the end time. So Christians, especially in the Western world like this, where there are so many distractions, so many things that pull you to pay attention to the things of the world. Money, job, promotion, reputation, all these things gonna pull you away from one of the most important things in your life that you don't even think about. That is the word eternity. Life after death. And as a doctor, I can tell you, no one lives forever. One day we all gonna die. In fact, if you think about the word eternity, about next life, and you compare eternity to the life we live on earth here, only 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, or 60 years, the life on earth is relatively and very, 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 very short. A lot of young people and a lot of people in this world pay a lot of attention and also put a lot of effort and energy just for the things in this world that one day are going to be gone. But they never prepare themselves for the eternal life, prepare themselves for the things that is eternal, that you're going to stay there forever. I know that in America, a lot of people like to work hard. They work from like 8 a.m. to midnight. The reason, because they want to retire soon. They get the money as much as they can. They can retire at 45 years old and then have fun. So people think about retirement. Don't misunderstand me. I think about retirement. I save money. I do everything to prepare myself for retirement. But retirement is only 20 years, 30 years. If you live to 90 years old and you retire at 60 years old, you live another 30 years and then that's it. And the money will go to somebody else anyway. But the real retirement, the real thing is eternal life in the next life that after you leave this world. So I believe that this subject is so important to remind young people like all of you to have the right perspective and right focus of life. Nothing wrong about going to school. Nothing wrong about working hard to be a good student. Nothing wrong about getting grade A. Nothing wrong about being the top student. Nothing wrong about getting a good job and being good in your job. Like I try to be the best neurosurgeon I can in this city. Nothing wrong about that. But if we ignore the life after this life, we're going to miss a lot when we leave this world. So I think it's good to understand about eschatology. Before we go into the detail about eschatology, which is involved death, the resurrection, mean coming back to life, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the judgment, and the final destiny and rewards of the righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous mean those who believe in Christ, repent of their sin, sins are forgiven, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not righteous by your own good deeds, but you're righteous by faith, and Christ died for you. The unrighteous mean those people who reject God and continue to live in sin and don't care about what God says. Before we go into eternal life, we would like to talk about one subject we call time and eternity. How many people agree with me that we are really controlled by the word time and space. Is that right? When I was young, I did not care much about time, but now I'm getting older. Today, I talked to one of my patients. He is 74 years old. His back went out. His knee went bad. Everything just go bad. I said, you need a new back. You need a new knee. And at the end, when he was walking out of my office, I said, it's not fun to get old. What it means to get old? It means we are living in the time zone. Our life on earth, we keep moving with the time. And we are controlled by time. Our body is running down. We're getting older. Things change. We cannot redeem the time back. We cannot pull back to 2006 anymore. As human being, we are limited, or we are finite, or we are limited by space and time. What is the difference between God and human being? God is eternal, and He is not limited by time at all. He is from the beginning that you don't know even when. No beginning, in fact. God exists before anything else, and He will stay and exist forever without the end. And that's why when God called Himself in the Bible, He called Himself, I am who I am. He did not call Himself, I was who I was. He is not the past tense. And He did not call Himself, I will be what I will be. He said, I am. He is eternal. Time cannot control Him. He called Himself, I am the Alpha and Omega. He is from the beginning, before the time come into the world, and to eternal, no end. So He is not controlled by time. He is not controlled by space. God can be here right now, and God can be in Oregon right now at the same time. He is not controlled by space. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 90, verses 2-4, before the mountain were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So God said, I am God from everlasting to everlasting. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. For us, 1,000 years is a lot. But for God, it's like this. Because He is not controlled by time. It doesn't matter 1,000 years or 1 minute. He is not controlled by time. Why we talk about this? This is important. Because when God created Adam and Eve, He gave them a period of time to test their obedience and their faith. In other words, every human being has a time of probation. Listen carefully. Our life on earth here, from the day you were born to the day you died, this period we call a period of probation. A period that you need to prove to God that you love Him, you obey Him, and you get right with Him. Once you die, you enter through the gate of death into eternity, and at that time everything will be settled and no change. This is the only time you can do something to dictate your destiny and your future. Once your lungs stop moving, your heart stops beating, and you are physically dead, and you may say, Dr. Lau, I don't care, I am only 19 years old. I want to tell you right now, no one knows we have tomorrow. The people in the Double Tower in New York know that they have tomorrow. They didn't know they died that day. No one knows that we have tomorrow, no matter how old you are. So, in fact, every single day is very important to us because it will dictate what's going to happen for eternity. For a long, 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 long time that you're going to live forever somewhere else. Your destiny. And what's going to happen to you in eternity is all settled by what you do and how you live on earth today. You are living in a probation period. Compared to all of you, it's like that you are in school right now. These 4 years of your schooling is so important for your future. If you don't do it well, you don't study well, you're lazy, you don't finish, it may dictate your future. What kind of job you're going to get. How you're going to do. Whatever you do each day will dictate your future. But I'm talking about eternity right now. Adam and Eve, when God created them and we are their offspring, God gave them a time on earth to be tested whether they believe or obey God or not, to prove that they are really sincere to God. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve failed. They disobeyed God. They took that fruit and they ate it. God said, don't touch that tree, the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. But Adam and Eve, actually, Adam was the one who led the family to eat that. So he got the blame. Even though Eve told him, but he led the family in the wrong way. He ate it, and what happened? The whole human race got into a problem we call sin and death and curses. Sin entered the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And after that, wrong things happen in the world. You see the whole world right now. You watch the TV, you read the newspaper, killing, discrimination, cheating, corruption, sickness and disease and poverty, calamity. Bad things happen in the world because sin entered the world. But thank God, if we know God, we can live a victorious life and we are not controlled by those things that much anymore if we are with God. You and I, who are offspring of Adam and Eve, we are living on earth right now in a probation period. And each one of us has been given a time span, a lifespan. Some of us may live 90 years. Some of us may live 40 years. In fact, I just have lost two patients of mine. One is a physician assistant, very smart guy. He died of brain cancer at 45 years old. And I lost another woman, only 40 years old, a mom of young kid, from brain hemorrhage, stroke. No one knew the day before that she's gonna drop on the ground in her kitchen and she'll never come out, and she died. So for her, 40 years old, that's all she had. I don't know how many years I have, but all of us have a lifespan and a time span on earth here, from the day we were born to the day we die. And this time span, we need to live right. We need to make sure that we do the right thing. God wants us to use this time span to get right with Him, to have relationship with Him, to repent of our sin, and to do the right thing according to what He say. If we can obey Him, it will dictate the future. But if we disobey and we just reject God, it's going to dictate our future too. That's why I think this subject is important, because you need to make decision every single day what you're going to do with your life. I make a decision to drive here today. It's my decision. I make a decision today that I will love my wife. I make decision. I will be nice to her. I went back home today and I was nice to her. I was very kind and loving to her. I make decision every day to live right and to love God and to repent of my sin or turn away from my sin. God is very patient. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back, but He's still patient with human beings. He's still waiting for more people to turn back to Him. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 and 9, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, for God, time is not controlling Him at all. It doesn't matter one day or 1,000 years, to Him the same. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, He's so patient, He's slow to come back to the world and to finish all the things in this world, because He's waiting for somebody to turn away from their sin and come back to God. Thank God that Jesus did not come back in 1979. If He came back in 1979, Pastor Lau would be in hell today, because I turned to God in 1981. God waited for me. And God is still waiting for a lot of people to come back to God in this time of probation. That's why, as Christians, we need to hurry up to tell people to repent and turn to God. Because, number one, we don't know when God is going to come back. Number two, we don't know when we're going to die. Because when He come back, or when we die, that probation period is done deal. We cannot do anything anymore. and I'm going to explain later on in this lesson. How many people in this room know your lifespan? Do you know how many many years you live? Anyone know? How many people want to live a long time? Those who don't raise hand, you mean you want to die soon? You want to live a long time, raise your hand up. Okay, everyone want to live a long time, but this is a fact of life. Once this period of probation or the period of living on earth here to prove your life is over, mortal man, I mean human being, will die, and the period of probation will end forever for that person. No second chance for the eternity. You have only one chance to enter into eternity. And after you stop breathing, your heart stopped beating, you died, you enter into a new state. You are not extinct, you don't disappear. We have spirit and soul. And if you don't believe me, you come to Thailand with me sometime. I'm going to show you some demons. I'm going to show you some evil spirit. I'm going to show you spiritual thing. Since I was a young man, I grow up, I see all this spirit. I see that the spiritual world is real. No matter how much knowledge as a neurosurgeon I have to cut on somebody's brain, to use laser, to use microscope, but the reality is there is a real spiritual world, and we as human, we have spirit and soul. After the end of this life, physical life or mortality, our spirit and soul will enter into a new state we call eternal state. And it will be like that forever, no change anymore. That eternal state or destiny, everyone say state. And everyone say destiny. That eternal destiny is settled and fixed, no change. In other words, if you go to heaven, you'll be in heaven forever. That destiny, there are only two destiny actually. And there are many states. Some people will have a lot of rewards in heaven. Some people have less rewards in heaven. The state of your life in eternal heaven will be different. You and I will be different according to what we do on earth here. But all these things, the condition you will have in heaven or in hell will be fixed forever. No change anymore. So some people, the destiny will be eternal destruction or hell. Some people will be, I know it sounds very weird, a neurosurgeon come talk about heaven and hell, but you need to know the truth. I need to tell you the truth. Some people, their eternal state will be, or eternal destiny will be heaven, will live forever in a good place, or we call heaven. And this destiny that is settled is unchanged and unchangeable. Let me repeat one more time. It's unchanged. Settle and unchangeable. You cannot do anything at all to change that. So that's why your life on earth here, from today to the day you die, is so important that you need to determine what you're going to do with your life to dictate or to settle your future. Every day I wake up, I make a decision to love God and love my neighbors and love people and live my life for God. Because I want my eternal destiny and eternal condition to be good. I am putting things in my bank account in eternal heaven. I live my life every day for eternity. Not just here. Thank God, God give me money. Thank God, God give me good house. But those things are going to be burned up one day. It's not as important as what's going to happen to me in eternity. So about time and eternity, everyone understand time is here on earth, a probation period of your life. It will end one day, and then everybody will enter eternal state and eternal destiny. The second question, why death? Everyone agree that every human being is afraid of death, is inevitable, expected, we all gonna die. Is that right? I used to be afraid of death a lot when I was young, but I'm not anymore. Because I know after I die, I would go to a better place now. So I'm not afraid of death anymore. But death, why human have to die? It's so clear. death is a visible sign of the result of sin. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve were not created to die, but after they sinned, they have to face physical death. Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So God was speaking to Adam and Eve that because you sinned against me, now you're going to have to face the result of sin. That is physical death. And we all were born as sinners. So that's why we have to face physical death. How many people agree that death is inevitable? Is that right? Okay. So you have to be prepared. You need to prepare for future. A man or a woman who live on earth here without preparing himself or herself for the next life is not very wise. It's foolish. It's like almost like a man or woman who live on this life without preparing for retirement. Just burn up all the money, use everything, get into debt, and never save money for a retirement. It's not wise. It's very foolish. The same thing. You live on this earth without preparing yourself. What you're going to do in eternity is not very wise. Very foolish. Okay? What is death? Before I explain about death, I want to explain to you that every human being, there are three parts. Physical body is like a house that you live in. This physical body comes from the dust and will go back to the dust. And unfortunately, this physical body grows old. I hate that. I want to stay young forever. I don't want to look older and older. I want to stay young. But unfortunately, we gonna get older, every one of us. That's why one day we die. Physical body. The second part we call spirit. Spirit is your real person. When I call Mark, I did not call that body. I call the spirit on the inside of him, because his real person is the spirit inside him. One day, he, Mark, will leave that body, and that person, Mark, that leave that body is the spirit, not the body. The body gonna go back to the ground. The third part we call soul, S-O-U-L, soul. Soul is another part of our life that totally connected to the spirit, inseparable. Spirit is a person, but soul dictate your thinking, your memory, your emotion, your decision. So what is death? Death is a separation of the spirit and soul from the physical body. Let me repeat one more time. Death means your spirit and soul comes out from your physical body. Your physical body stop working and eventually decay to be dust. But your soul and your spirit will stay on forever. Look at this scripture. I show you the scripture. You know that this is not my own idea. Luke chapter 16, 19 to 23. Jesus was talking about two men who eventually died. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fare sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, meaning at this rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments, it means he still feels something. He was tormented in Hades. Hades means hell. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Two men. One was a rich man, have everything he needed. Another man was poor, but he loved God. And he followed God. Both of them died and then disappear? No. What the Bible says, the spirit and soul of Lazarus went up to heaven to be with Abraham. But the spirit and soul of the rich man went downhill into hell. And in hell and heaven, the Bible says that both of them still have feeling, still have thought, still can think, can talk, can communicate, like almost like normal, like a person like you, but without the physical body. The soul and spirit can think and can talk, according to this story. So death, in conclusion, is not cessation or termination of a being. When you die, it doesn't mean that you disappear. No more. If I die, my spirit and soul will leave and to be somewhere else. And my spirit and my soul will be eternity bound. I will be somewhere for eternity and cannot change that. The body returns to the ground, but my spirit and my soul can still feel it. That's why the rich man, the Bible says, he felt the torments. When you are in heaven, my mom accepted Christ 6 months before she died. She had a lung cancer, but she accepted Christ. She saw Jesus 3 times. I never saw Jesus, but she saw Jesus 3 times. She became so changed after she accepted Christ. After she died, somebody had a dream about her. Saw her in heaven, dancing, singing, looked very young, and laughing and having fun. The Bible says that, enter into the joy of the Lord in heaven. You have feeling in heaven. You see people you still love, you still laugh, you still have fun. But at the same time, when people go to hell, the spirit and soul go to hell, they feel tormenting, they feel the heat, they feel the suffering. So after you leave this world, your spirit and your soul leave this world, you still have the faculty of your minds and your feeling and your decision. The faculty of your decision and your mind, your calculation, your memory, everything you study in school, all these things do not come from your body. They come from your mind and your spirit. Your body is just a vessel or a home that you live in. Quite heavy subject tonight. I'm sorry. Okay, heavy subject. So death is not annihilation. What does it mean? It's not erased from existence. I used to be a Buddhist. And the Buddhist teach me, if you do good so much, eventually you will not exist anymore. You disappear. Your soul and spirit will be gone. But according to the Bible, it's not true. After you die, your spirit and your soul will exist for eternity. Amen. Now let's look at what happened to people who have the right relationship with God, who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, who repent of their sin and live for God in this world. I'm going to talk about that first tonight. What happened to the believers? What happened to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? What happened to the people who call themselves born again Christians? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that if he can choose, he rather leave this body to be in heaven with the Lord. The Apostle Paul was very clear that there is next life. When he was writing this scripture, he said that his spirit in this body, but he doesn't mind that his spirit is absent from this body and to be in heaven with the Lord. Amen. So those who repent of their sin, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, after they die, where are they going to be? The spirit and soul will be with the Lord in heaven. Is that right? So we will be in heaven with God forever. That's what the Bible promised. Not only that we're going to be with God forever in heaven, we also will fellowship with brother and sister who believe in the Lord as well. We're going to see each other again for eternity. If you're tired of me right now, I'm sorry, you're going to have to be with me in heaven forever. You're going to see my face there up there forever. You cannot run away from me. Amen. So actually, if you don't like me, you have to bear with me in heaven too. I'm kidding. So we're going to fellowship up there forever. We're going to see Moses. We're going to see Abraham. We're going to shake hands with them. Elijah. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. We're going to be there forever in heaven for eternity. Amen. So that is the destination of people who believe in Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Jesus was hanged on the cross with two criminals, one on the right hand, one on the left hand. One on his side say, Lord, remember me when you go to paradise. So in other words, that guy repented and believed that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. This is what Jesus said to that man. And Jesus said to him, Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That man died that day from being tortured on the cross. And Jesus said, you're going to see me in heaven today. For the believer, for the disciple of Jesus Christ, the minute you die, you show up in heaven. You don't have to fear death. Death is just a door that you change from the life on earth in this physical body, a probation period of time, to enter into eternity with God forever. Amen. Are you glad you're a Christian? I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I know Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can speak with full confidence that God is so real, because God's Spirit touched me so many times in my life. And I know that God is so real to me. There's no way to change my mind anymore. God is real. Period. There are two words here. Destiny. Everyone say destiny.
Destiny.
But not only destiny, your condition or your rewards. As a believer, as a Christian, not only that you will go to heaven after you die, but you're going to be judged for rewards. The rewards you will have in heaven will be settled at the end of the time of probation on earth here. And it cannot change afterward. Everyone say rewards. God gonna judge you not to go to hell because you already been forgiven. You already saved because you repent of your sin and you receive Christ into your life. You don't have to worry about going to hell because you are forgiven. But God gonna judge you on that day after you die to say how much rewards you're gonna have. Or you're gonna go into heaven empty hand, no rewards at all. And once that's settled, no change. How many people want to have a lot of rewards in heaven? How many people want to go to heaven empty hand? Nothing. The Bible talk about that. I'm gonna show you in the scripture in a minute here. After we die, we definitely go to heaven, but one day we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone say, judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We mean Christians. And each one may receive the things done in the body. Everyone say, in the body. As I say a while ago, the time of probation on earth here will dictate, will determine what kind of reward you have in heaven. Whatever you are doing on earth in this body will dictate your eternity. What's going to happen to you in eternity? According to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's why I want to encourage you now. No matter what goal of life you have, you may want to be a doctor like me. Some of you may want to be a dentist. Some of you may want to be a businessman. Some of you may want to be a pharmacist. Whatever goal, the natural goal you have. Because God gave us different talents to be. I have talent to be a surgeon. No matter what goals you have, or no matter what nationality you have or you are, but one thing you need to set the goal today is that from to this minute on, November 16, 2007, I will begin to live a life. The clock tick, 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 until you die. You're going to begin to live a life that will dictate the best rewards, the most rewards in heaven that you can have. Every minute has gone by, you cannot get it back. Every tick of the arm of the clock go by, you are losing the chance of accumulating or storing rewards in heaven. I hope you listen to me. I hope you will not waste your time in this life. I hope today this message will really turn your life around. Romans chapter 14 verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all, everyone say all, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said that every believer, when the Lord Jesus come back, we are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So you can see here, let me make a conclusion. Talk about eternity, eternal life. There are two things here, two things. Your destiny is settled in time on earth here. The last minute you breathe, you die, your destination or destiny is settled according to your belief or your faith. Everyone say faith. If you have faith in God and you follow Him and obey Him, your destiny will be eternal heaven. But not only destiny, eternal rewards are settled here in time on earth here according to your works and your motives. Everyone say works. Motives. In this life, you deal with three things here. Every single day. What is your faith? Do you believe in God? Do you obey God? Are you following God? Second thing, what do you do with your life? How you spend your money? How do you spend your time? How you say things to people? Your work. How you live. And not only how you live, God look deeper than that. Some of people may say, oh, you know, I give money to the poor, I do good things, but behind the scene, they want to give money to the poor in order to build their own business so that people will like them and give money to them. Their motives are wrong. So God does not only look at your work, but He looks at your motive behind the scene, inside your heart here. Your rewards are determined by what you do, what you say, and what is the motive behind what you do and what you say. Let's look at the scripture together. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Let's look at this scripture together. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. A man, this man means Jesus. That he left this world, went up to heaven. Far country means heaven. Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. The man that we talk about that went on a journey is the Lord Jesus Christ. He left this world. After he died, he came back to life, and he went up to heaven. And all these servants are Christians. And the Bible says that he gave each and every one of us different level and different types of talents, abilities and giftings, spiritual gifts. We all have different things. Some 5, some 2, some 1. We all are different. This parable talking about how you live on earth here, preparing for eternity. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gains 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. In other words, everything that you have in life right now, your clothes, your intellectual ability, your car, your money, everything that you have come from the Lord. You were born without anything. God gave all these things to you. Okay? It's all from the Lord. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. You remember, I read Romans chapter 14 a while ago that we have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give our account to Him. We need to give report what we do in life, how you spend time, how you spend your money, how you use your education, everything. He's going to ask you. You need to give an account to Him. You cannot avoid that. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done. Everyone say, done.
Yeah.
It's about what? Do. Is that right? Doing something. Your work. You do something. Well done. Good. And faithful servant. You can see that only one phrase here. Jesus already talked about 2 things that dictate your rewards. Your time on earth here. What do you do? What do you say? How you live your life? Is God going to say to you on the last day, well done? Or medium rare? Or rare? Are you a rare kind or you a well done kind? Okay. He said, well done. So what do you do with your life? Good and faithful servant. The second part of the phrase talking about what? Heart. Do you have a good heart? Are you faithful? Are you going to finish the course with the faithfulness of your heart? Or are you going to drop the ball in the middle? Or you do things out of wrong motive? God said, good. You have a good heart. And faithful servant. So he did not only look at what you did, but he looked at your motives as well. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This man is going to go to heaven and enjoy his life now with rewards. God gave him authority to rule over many things. The same thing happened to the man with the 2 talents. But what happened to the man who received 1 talent? Look at verse 24. Then he had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Bad attitude here. Blaming God now. You're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You can see 2 things again. Wicked mean bad heart. Lazy mean you don't do anything with it in this life. You don't watch your life. Your action, your behavior in life is not right. Wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him. Give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is talk about eternity. This part talking about hell and heaven here. 2 persons enter into the joy of heaven. But the last person, the 3rd person, who did not do anything with the talent God gave him, he rebelled against God. He did not obey God. What happened? He entered into eternal lake of fire. Gnashing of teeth. Suffering. We can see here that from this scripture, that number one, God promised the rewards for everybody. And God going to give rewards according to what you have done on earth and your motives. How about look at another scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, everyone say gold. Silver. Precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Okay. So you can see that Jesus talked about different things here. valuable thing, cheap thing. Straw is cheap, gold is expensive. Each one's work will become clear, for the day, in my Bible, day is capital D, mean the day of judgment, the special day that we're going to meet the Lord, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. Everyone say work. In other words, that day when you stand before Jesus, He has fire to test, to prove your heart, what you do in your life. You can lie to me that you love God. You can lie to me that you go to church because you love God, but actually you go to church because of a woman, a lady there. You just hang in there in the church because a beautiful lady go to church every Sunday. Your motive to go to church is to chase after that woman. God knows. Okay? You don't go to church because you love God, but because you are looking at a woman. God knows your heart. And that day, people with the right heart will be like gold. The fire will not burn up. Will be like silver who stay. But if the heart is wrong, the motive is wrong, I need to check my motive why I come tonight. And I want to tell you, I come tonight because number one, I love you and I want you to be successful. I want you to be victorious in the Christian life. That's all I want to see. No other motive. And I check my motive. The fire is going to burn and become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, what kind of person you are, whatever you do, what is inside. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Everyone say reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as so through fire. So there will be different kinds of Christians. Some Christians will stand before Jesus on that day, and the fire of God passed through. And Jesus said, oh, all this year you served me in the church because you want position, because you want money, because you want that and this. You don't love me. You just serve me for other motive. Go to heaven. You don't go to the fire of hell. You go to heaven, but no rewards. But another person walk in, maybe the first person is a preacher. He preach, he make all these things, he build a big church so that he can be famous, he can get a lot of money, he can have his face in the TV so people all know him. But all this year he never loved God, he just, as it is a profession to make money. But another person is a janitor in the church, sweep the floor every day, clean up the church, he loves God, he wants to do everything to please God. He is not even a preacher. No one know him in the TV. No one heard his name in the magazine, in the Charisma magazine. But when he stand before Jesus, Jesus look at him. I give you this much talent, you can sweep the floor. You're not a preacher. You cannot teach the Bible. But you are faithful in sweeping the floor, cleaning up the church all this year, and you love me, you obey me. Big chunk of reward to you. Suburban. You can see now that God does not judge you only the outward things you do. He judges your faithfulness. Whatever He has given you, maybe you're not a preacher, but you're good in, for example, Christine is very good in English. She is so faithful in helping the church to correct or to edit the newsletter. And maybe I can use her to edit my teaching too. She is faithful in helping the pastor to edit the lesson and edit the newsletter of the church. All these years, she will have more reward than somebody who served God out of a wrong motive. So, I think this is why this lesson is so important to us, because we don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ that day and say, oh, Jesus, my pastor never told me this. You know, I never been taught, I never been warned that I have wrong motives all this year. I go to heaven empty hand, empty head, empty hand, nothing. I pray that this lesson will help you to live this life worthy of the gospel and live this life correctly, so you will not miss on that day, and you will say, oh, I should have learned this lesson long time ago. Start as young right now, as you are young right now, to do the right thing and to have the right motive. Amen. Promise of the reward. Matthew 12:36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Jesus was very clear that there will be a day of judgment. Everything you say, everything you do, every motive you have, you're going to have to stand before Jesus. On that day, you cannot hide, you cannot lie. It will be clear. You have to give account why you say that, why you do that. Today you can sneak, now you can hide, now you can sleep in, but that day he's going to ask you, why that Sunday you sleep in and you don't go to church? He's going to ask you, how you spend your life? Why don't you use your talent to serve God in the church? Why are you just lazy? That day, whatever you do now, going to dictate the future, because he's a just God. Yes, you go to heaven because you believe in Jesus, but how much reward you're going to have depends on how you live, how you act, and what kind of motive you have on earth right now. Amen. Judgments and rewards of believers. God has many promises of rewards to his people. Okay, let me ask this question. Do you think he promised the rewards in order to bribe you? No, is that right? And you don't do good things for him, you don't do the right thing for him in order to just get rewards. What is the motive behind doing good things or to obeying him? Love. Amen. You do good things for him because you love him, because you want to please him. But a good dad will always reward good children. When you do the right thing, God say, I'm your dad, I'm going to reward you. But the main motive of doing good things, obeying God, serving God on earth here, because we love him so much, because he loved us first. Amen. As a medical doctor, I study about the death of Jesus Christ in detail. How he died on the cross from the medical point of view. The more I know about how Jesus died, the more I love him. One day maybe I share with you about this. How, from the medical point of view, how a man who hang on the cross with the nail on the hand and the feet died. From the physiological and anatomical point of view, it's pretty bad. But he died for us. It's not easy, like just shoot some chemical into the vein, like today. Or just electric chair, boom, done. No, it's much more than what you can imagine from the medical, physiological, and anatomical point of view, how Jesus died on the cross for us. So that's why Christians who understand that Jesus died for our sin to save us from hell will love him more than anything else. He suffered so much for us. Okay? All believers must appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to stand before Jesus? If you were to die today, are you ready to stand before him and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant? If you are not ready, I want to tell you right now, start now. From now, be a good Christian, a committed Christian, devoted Christian, love God, serve God, live a holy life, grow, study the Bible, serve, join the church, commit your life to a local church, live a life that he will say, even 1 minute of your life you do that, if you die at that moment, you go, God will say, good and faithful servant, because you make decision and you do it. Amen. Don't be a lukewarm Christian, don't be nasty Christian, be hypocrites and all these things. Be real, so God can say to you, good and faithful servant. Okay? Because God going to reward you. Definitely, in rewarding somebody, you need to have a responsibility. You cannot just get reward without responsibility. No way. You need to do something. But responsibility also necessitates accountability. And that's why we have to all stand before God that day. You cannot sneak into the heaven behind the seat of Jesus and say, Jesus, I sneak in right now, you don't see me. I heard about a joke. This joke is so funny, I tell the people in the OR all the time. This is a joke. Can I tell you a joke a little bit? A husband and wife, they don't get along very well. And one day the wife died, so she went to the pearly gates of heaven. Some of you heard this story already. She went to the pearly gates of heaven. So Peter was standing at the front of the gate of heaven and said, "Why you come here? I'm a Christian, I'm going to go to heaven." Apostle Peter said, "You need to spell a word for me, and then you can get into the heaven." "Okay, what word?" "Love." She said, L-O-V-E. So she went into heaven. A few days later, Apostle Peter got a business to do. So he told her, "Can you watch the pearly gates of heaven for me? Whenever we people come, do the same thing." She said, "Yes, okay, I will stand at the pearly gates." So she was standing there, and then her husband got a heart attack and died. And he came up to the pearly gates of heaven and met his wife. And the wife said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to enter the gates of heaven." She said, "There is a rule. You need to spell a word for me." He said, "What word?" "Czechoslovakia." Very mean. Okay, let's come back to the lesson. Okay, at the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment is not concerning salvation or heaven and hell. If you believe in Jesus, you repent of your sin, definitely you go to heaven. But concerning what? Rewards. How much rewards you're going to have. If you read the book of Matthew, chapter 24, you can see that God was warning about the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, the end time going to come. We are studying about end time right now. We're going to go later on about the second coming of Jesus, about heaven and hell and all this in detail, about what's going to happen in the end time. Today, just introduction. Okay. It's a long lesson. Chapter Matthew 24 talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But Matthew 25, the whole chapter, talking about how you live on this earth, preparing yourself for that day, for the day of judgment. And we just read Matthew 25 a while ago, that we need to use everything in our life to live for God. And all the talents, all the giftings to live for God. So the reward is like an incentive, it's not a bribe. Amen? Now we're going to look at the list of the rewards God talked in the Bible. I never seen it because I never went to heaven. But one day I will see. These are the rewards in heaven. I read the scripture and you give the answer, okay? Matthew 25 say, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" The reward of
joy.
The joy is normal in heaven. Everyone has joy. Faithfulness. Amen. The reward of faithfulness. When you are faithful, you don't quit. You serve God to the end. You will receive the reward of faithfulness. Amen. The devil tempts me to quit so many times in my life to be a pastor. But I just hang in there. I don't quit. I want to serve God to the end. No matter what happened to me, I want to be faithful. Look at James chapter 1 verse 12. What kind of reward? "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of..." The second kind of reward is the crown of life. God is going to put a crown on your head. A crown of life. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 4. "Shepherd of the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." You see, all this thing talking about the motive here. The motive of being pushed, being forced to do it, or willingly. The motive of being dishonest, getting money, or serving God because of love, because of eagerness. "Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," who is the chief shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ, amen, "appears, you will receive the crown of
glory.
So the Bible talks about another kind of reward, the crown of glory. Amen. Look at another one. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 to 20. "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing?" You talk about joy a while ago. You are right. We're going to have the crown of rejoicing. Joy belongs to God. The joy of the Holy Spirit is our strength. You know, in heaven, people are going to smile. People are going to laugh. There's no long face in heaven. There's no cry. There's no amitriptyline, nortriptyline, Prozac. And what else? Cymbalta. There's no depression in heaven. Everyone have joy. Actually, I just have a phone call with a woman in Thailand yesterday. She was touched by God on November 4th, which is about 12 days ago. She told me the story that she was touched by God, and I walked behind her. I was laying hand on somebody else. And then I said, fire! I didn't lay hand on her, and she felt like something pushed on her back, like this boom on her back. The fire of God hit her, and she began to laugh and drunk in the Holy Spirit. And she couldn't walk back home. People had to carry her out into the... She drove to the church, so somebody had to drive for her. She couldn't drive. And 12 days later, on the phone, she's still drunk and laughing in the Holy Spirit on the phone with me. And when I heard her voice, I almost laughed too. Like, I almost got drunk too because we laugh at each other. This is in Thailand, some small city in Thailand. People really on fire for God over there. And she prophesied and prophesied and she met people. She did not even know that I went to Las Vegas. On the phone, she said, Las Vegas belongs to God. You're going to go there. And I say, how did you know this? I never told you. You see, she prophesied because she was so full with the Holy Spirit. In heaven, there's going to be joy, the crown of rejoicing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of
righteousness,
which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What is the day? The day of judgment, the day at the judgment seat of Christ. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. How many people love Jesus and want to meet Him? Amen. That day you're going to receive the crown of righteousness. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:25 to 27. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable or incorruptible crown. So the rewards in heaven that you have, worms cannot destroy, the thief cannot steal, rust cannot destroy, it will last forever. It's incorruptible, it's imperishable, stay forever. Are you glad? Amen. No stock market up and down like on earth here. It will stay forever. Matthew 10:41-42. What kind of reward? He who received a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What kind of reward here? A reward of prophet. In other words, the reward of your ministry. Some of you one day may be a pastor of a church somewhere, maybe in a big island. A woman pastor in Big Island. And when you go to heaven, you are going to receive a pastor reward. And if I give you water to drink, I'm going to receive the same reward because I take care of you. People who take care of me in my church, when they go to heaven, they carry the luggage for me, they drive the car for me. That day they're going to receive the same reward I receive because they take care of the pastor. God is very fair. Okay? He's good. I love God. The reward of not only prophet, but he who received a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. If you live a righteous life, you deny sin, you reject sin, you live a holy life, God will reward you. Look at Revelation 11:18, another kind of reward. The nation were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. So God prepared rewards for His saints and His servants. Everyone who serves God right now, I want to encourage you. You're going to go to heaven if you have the right motive with rewards. You will not waste your time. And God will not only reward in heaven, but He will reward you on earth here. Thank God. Amen. God will reward you on earth here, not just in heaven. He will bless you. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold on earth when you serve the Lord. Don't worry about it. God take care of his employees. He pay the bill. The paycheck is coming. I serve God all this year. I never get salary from this church. Zero salary. But God still bless me, give me money, everything. I never lack anything. God pay his bill. Get God pay my paycheck. Amen? So serve God. Revelation 4:4. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold. This is another kind of reward. Crown of gold. Let's look at another scripture, last one. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I, mean Jesus, am coming quickly. We are learning about the end time. Jesus is going to come to judge the world. This world is going to come to the end. He's going to come to establish his kingdom. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Whether you are students, whether you finish, graduate, you have a family, get married, have kids, you are successful in your business, no matter what state in your life, you are a servant of God. Don't waste your time. Serve God in every condition of your life. Amen. When you come to this care group, ask Joanne, Jonathan, ask the team, what can I serve here? Can I help arranging the chair? Can I help cleaning up? Can I help bring something? What can I do to serve the group? I want to serve. I don't want just to come here. Because Jesus promises that he's going to come back with rewards and he's going to give to everyone who works and who serve and who use the talents, who use the gift and who are faithful and who have the right motive because they love God. When I studied this lesson, I make a decision many years ago. I make a decision 9 years ago. I taught this lesson the first time 9 years ago. I say, God, from today on, every single second in my life, I will store up rewards in heaven. This doesn't mean that I have to be in the church 24 hours a day. I don't mean that. I don't mean you have to sit in this room every single night. I receive reward when I go home and I love my wife and say, honey, today the food is so delicious and wonderful. Oishi, oishi. You know oishi mean? Oishi, oishi, oishi. Mean delicious in Japanese. Today I have a Japanese friend come to eat at my house and she said, oishi. So it's delicious. When I comfort her, I get rewards in it. Because I work to be a good husband. Today, when I saw my patient and I comfort them, I love them, I even share, come and eat free lunch. This Sunday, we have free lunch. You don't need to join my church. I get rewards because I love people. I live my life every single day. It's not only about preaching. It's about every second you encourage somebody, you love somebody, you give to somebody, you help somebody, you show Christ to somebody, you do something to build the kingdom of God. It doesn't have to be preaching and teaching. Every single minute in your life. I walked into my office this morning, I saw my secretary, hi, good morning. Before I left the office today, I have two secretaries. I say, happy Thanksgiving, have a nice week, God bless you. I share my love of God to them. I want to shine the light of God to these people. I serve God already. Every single minute, I want to demonstrate or reveal the love of God. Amen? If you can do that, you're going to have a full rewards in heaven. Every single minute, think about this. How I spend my money. How I spend my time. I sit down with my wife to watch some movie, not because I want to watch the movie alone, but I want to encourage her. I want to spend time with her. For example, you see, the purpose in my heart is to build somebody up, is to encourage, to love somebody. Actually, it's all about people. In fact, it's about God and people. That's it. It's to build somebody up and to love somebody. Amen. I believe that this teaching will encourage you. Do you like me to come back to continue this kind of lesson? Or is it too heavy? Eschatology. So we will learn more about the end time. Amen. Okay. Thank you. I want to end this lesson by sharing this quickly. Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal his truth and his grace. What does it mean? It means that we as human beings cannot go to heaven by ourselves. We need the grace of God. And he showed his grace by paying the penalty of our sin on the cross. He died for us. We need to pay actually the ticket of sin. But he said, no. I show grace to you. I die for you. I pay for you. And he revealed the truth that man need to repent and need to get right with God. So I want to encourage everyone in this room that get right with God. Turn to God today. Repent of your sin. Invite Jesus to come into your life and say, God, today I want to be your child. And from today on, I'm going to live my life for you. And I know that I never outgive God. You will pay me back whatever I do. God is good God, a good God. He is a generous God. So I want to encourage you. If you never invite Jesus into your heart, I want to encourage you to do that. I don't know any one of you today. If you were to die today, do you have confidence beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven? If you happen to die tonight, I don't say you're going to die, but if you were to die tonight, do you have confidence beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be in heaven? I have confidence. I know I'm going to be in heaven. I know because I believe in Christ and I have a relationship with Him. How many people in this room want to live eternity in heaven? Raise your hand up. Amen. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you never invite Jesus Christ, I want you to pray with me tonight. I want to make sure that you will go to heaven with me and with the rest of the people here. Why don't we pray that prayer first, and then we pray for the prayer of commitment that from today on, we're going to live our life for the kingdom. We're going to work for God, and we're going to have the right motive in the eyes of God. Amen. Why don't you follow my prayer? Father in heaven, I admit, Lord, that I am a sinner. I ask you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Forgive me of my sin. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth right now that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He died for my sin. And He was raised from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now to become my Lord and my Savior. Today, Lord, I learn about eternal life, the judgment of God, and rewards. Lord, from today on, by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, you help me, Lord, to do all the things that you call me to do, to work for you, to use the gift that you have given me. Help me to have the right attitudes, the right motive in serving you and obeying you. I believe, Lord, when I go to heaven, on that day, I will have a lot of rewards in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. Amen. Why don't we give hand to God? Huh?
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.